From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this hour. And next hour, Lloyd Pye joins us, ancient astronauts and some other great stories. A little bit later on this hour, we're going to end this hour with a very fascinating, well, just a thank you, I guess, to the troops by Don LaFontaine. Don, of course, is the great voice that you hear on movie trailers and episodes like that. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving with your family and loved ones, or if you're just by yourself, now with your family here listening to Coast. An earthquake with a magnitude of at least 4.5 struck off the northwest coast of the Big Island in the same area where two stronger tremors struck last month in Hawaii. The quake shook homes on the Big Island of Maui and Oahu, but it did not produce a tsunami. The tremors just really shook, scared people, but that was about it. Iraqi leaders are appealing for calm after Sunni insurgents blew up five car bombs, three of them homicide attacks, in Baghdad's Shiite Sadr city slum, killing at least 161, wounding 257. It never ends in an act of carnage that sent the U.S. ambassador racing to meet with Iraqi leaders and moved Iraq a step closer to an all-out civil war. A traditional day of feasting with family could turn into a day of holiday shopping for some, and it did as retailers offered some more options. Some stores opening up now on Thanksgiving. That was unheard of a few years ago. Also, online stores just taking in a whole bunch of business. Friday after Thanksgiving is supposed to be the traditional busiest shopping day of the year. A Russian former spy is dead. He died Thursday night in a London hospital 3 weeks after his suspected poisoning, with doctors unable to determine the cause of his illness. He was a longtime critic of the Russian government, which he and his friends blame for his sudden illness earlier this month. Some people suspect that a couple agents dropped something in his tea. By the way, Casino Royale, talking about spies, the new 007 movie, number two on the charts this week. It's a great flick, I'm told. I haven't seen it yet. Happy Feet, number one. Casino Royale, number two. And Deja Vu with Denzel Washington, number three this week at the box office, as holiday folks decided to go to the movies. NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter has failed to spot the silent Mars Global Surveyor spacecraft. The agency next will call on the Opportunity rover, which is still on Mars, of course, to listen for the missing spacecraft's radio beacon, though the mission members say that the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter may already be dead. What a great machine it was. Launched November 7th, 1996. It arrived at Mars in September of 97 and has provided incredible data. The Russian cosmonaut who is aboard the International Space Station hit a golf ball from the porch of the ISS, making it the longest golf shot in history. However, the stunt did not go completely as planned. Richard C. Hoagland, EnterpriseMission.com, on the line with us now. Well, Richard, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and Robin, my friend.
And happy Thanksgiving to you and to this wonderful Coast audience.
Okay, so we took a golf shot in space. It didn't go as planned, though, Richard.
Well, engineer Mikhail Turin is not exactly Tiger Woods. He apparently sliced the shot, and instead of going stern away from the space station, it kind of went toward the Earth at an angle. So there was a small but realistic probability it might actually come back and even hit the space station, although if it did, the NASA people who'd been involved in this had carefully calculated that the 3-gram golf ball, which is like 1/10 of an ounce, would not do any damage, and the odds are that it will not recontact, and it will probably spiral down and burn up in the atmosphere in about 3 days. But it obviously is the world's longest golf shot. It's literally gone around and around the world, and it totally eclipses Alan Shepard's famous golf shot from the moon back in 1971.
Do you know if this golf ball somehow entered the atmosphere unburned? Maybe it hit in, it comes in at the right angle and lands on a golf course and gets a hole in one. What a story that would be.
Then I think we've got one for the history books.
We sure do. Richard, I do want to ask you, though, what's going on the ISS these days? I mean, are they making any progress up there?
Well, they're basically getting ready for another assembly flight of the space shuttle, which will be launched on December 7th. and will be a very complicated flight where they actually rendezvous, dock, transfer another truss, and then they take several spacewalks, both during the mission, and then when the space shuttle comes back, the astronauts on the space station will take more spacewalks to basically transfer power from the existing solar array to the new solar array, and they have to shut down and transfer electrical lines and ammonia lines and coolant lines. So this upcoming mission in another couple of weeks is going to be the most delicate and probably the most dangerous for everyone involved. I mean, we're talking real danger here, not just the danger of reentering in the space shuttle, but actually the space station itself could be at some risk if this isn't done exactly right.
All right. Richard, what's new on the EnterpriseMission.com website?
Well, we're working on the Joshua Tree DVDs. We have the MP3 download up on the top of the Enterprise site. You can go just below that banner to the Lunar Ruins banner and look at this extraordinary feature called Ina on the Moon, which I firmly believe is revealing some amazing structures left by someone. And the consensus of all the people who've emailed me is that we really got something, and this, of course, goes hand in hand with the lunar robotic head that I showed you a few weeks ago and we talked about on the show. So we're going to be doing something very substantive on what's going on the moon, and more important, why the president, why George Bush, a couple, 3 years ago, suddenly announced in the middle of this war that we're going back to the moon. And I think, George, that the ruins that we have now confirmed that are really there, just go to the Enterprise Mission .com website and take a look at the images. I think they are a major reason why we suddenly decided after 30 years that we had to go back. And finally, in the spirit of the holiday season, we have our God, Man, and E.T. DVD series. There's a banner on the Enterprise site. If you want to make a phone call for those folks that don't have computers, you can call us at 1-877-345-6222. That's 1-877-345-6222, and we'll get them out to you in time for Christmas. And judging from the folks who got them last year, it is a most auspicious Christmas gift because it talks about where we are in relation to everything and everyone who might be out there.
Nice job, Richard, and you have a long, prosperous weekend, my friend.
And you too, and again, happy Thanksgiving to everyone and you and yours.
Thank you, Richard C. Hoagland. Okay, we're going to have open lines now for the entire hour. Here are the phone numbers for you. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. The first-time caller line, that's open at 818-501-4721, though these lines get jammed awfully fast. And the wildcard line is 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, as promised, a live Thanksgiving Day show for you. We'll be back in a moment at Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome to Open Lines. Let's pick it up by going to our East of the Rockies line first. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hi, this is Ed Brogan.
Hello, Ed. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, George? Nice to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was stuffed. Very good.
Good. What's on your mind, Ed?
I just want to know, I've been looking around Richmond, Virginia, and I keep seeing these really long chemtrails going over top of the city, and then there's rain for a couple of days, and then it's blue skies, and I just don't understand it. My father was in the military and flew planes, and he told me a few things, and I just don't get it, because it seems like there's short trails coming from the commercial jets, but then there's also long trails coming from the commercial jets, and then there's rain, and there's some other weather changes, and I just don't get it. I'm misunderstood, I guess. I don't know what's going on.
Well, you know, Ed, there's no question that these chemtrails have had an effect on the weather, and the people who have been investigating chemtrails truly believe that that's the main reason why we have chemtrails, weather manipulation. I don't know. It sounds very possible to me, and you're right. It seems like when we have a lot of chemtrail activity, the weather starts to change drastically as well, and they got a lot of rain in that area. Not to be confused, but I do think it has something to do with it. First time caller line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Well, that person is gone, but let's try our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello.
George, good evening, and hi. Hello from the West Coast of Canada. I wanted to reflect on your Bible code evening.
Chuck Missler.
Yeah, yeah. I think I can put a little more of a positive spin on it. I know you're Edgar Casey is something that is a gentleman that you've reviewed his material quite a bit.
Yes, absolutely.
And I understand, if I'm not mistaken, from having heard you before, that prophecy was sort of a guidepost. In other words, we can, it's like the old comment, faith can move mountains. You know, if we all think in a positive context or take signs as a more prevalent perspective of warnings, that we can move things. I don't think God would flaunt a terminal defeatist future or inject pain and or suffering of a fatalism in a script. And I think prophecy is a warning for change. And that being said, I think there's I think some of the Bible is fact, and I think there's a little bit of fiction thrown in there by the Nephilim and Illuminati to sort of steer us into their desired future. And beyond that, I'd just like to say that, in the past, if you look at some of the scriptures, you know, God was going to destroy, your guest said God was going to destroy a city, and then he didn't destroy it. And, you know, Moses, apparently, if I remember the scriptures, was ordered to kill 30 or 3,000 people because they were non-believers. And I don't think a real God would do that. So I think there's a warning. And I think if God wrote it, he was doing it to sort of tell us that we can change our direction. And if God didn't write it, then it's definitely the Nephilim Anunnaki guys trying to produce a future that works to their best interest. And I'd throw that in there, in just case that might sit well with you. And I also like to make a comment on the last night's show, if I may, briefly.
Okay, well, let me react to what you just said.
Sure.
I like you agree that I don't believe God is a violent God. And I think some of the earlier writings of this violence, of this, you know, we're going to kill and destroy. I think it might have had to do with the visitors from out of space, because I don't think a God would be that violent. That's just my take.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear you say that. I sense that, and I just thought it might be helpful for some listeners that are really feeling deflated, thinking that, or with your guest perspective, that it's inevitable and we might as well just throw on the hat or whatever. You know, it just seemed like a really really dark, script for somebody
sure.
of such high divinity to sort of put upon us. I also think that the Nephilim and then the Illuminati have been waiting for centuries for us to get the technology that restructured so that they could move forward in their game plan. And I think that is going to be altered deflated, and I think their power is quickly diminishing, and that we're, even though there will be some troubled times ahead, which I've mentioned to you before, that we're going to come out of this okay. We just have to be more positive and be more open-minded to safeguard our future, and just be kinder in general to people and to the planet in general.
See, I like your train of thought, because I do believe that if you act that way, in the long run, we're going to win out. Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Thanks for that call, by the way. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
Thank you. That's nice. I had a good Thanksgiving. I hope you did too.
Yes, I did. I just got a question. You know, I hear a lot about the abduction of people being abducted, and I experienced that when I was like about 4 or 5, and I would have no reason to, you know, get any information from anywhere. But I was trying to explain to my family, you know, that, you know, my body was kind of being paralyzed and I was screaming for help. And then I was, you know, on this ship. I mean, I guess it was a ship, but it was the weirdest thing. And I just wondered if any of your listeners experienced this. It was like I could see everything outside. I mean, it was just like I was in midair and they were doing all these experiments like you see like on TV and stuff now. And it was just strange. I was a little kid, you know, but I could see, you know, the trees. I could see my house. It was like I could see through this vessel. And I was just wondering if your listeners ever experienced anything.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Of course they have. Some of them have, and they've
wow.
called in. They've talked about that. Was this a one-time thing for you?
No, it happened for about 3 weeks, and I was trying to explain it to my family. And the weirdest thing, they laugh at me today because when I was little, my mom was combing my hair. She kept hitting something hard in the middle of the top of my head. Anyway, and it was just like a piece of, like a metal thin copper. It was like my brother's. I was little, so I don't remember ever seeing it. But they pulled it out of my head, the top of my head, and he said it was the weirdest thing they ever seen. I think it scared my mom because she didn't understand it. How could that have gotten in the top of my head?
Who and pulled it out?
Saved it.
Who pulled it out?
My mom. She took a pair of pliers and just pulled it out. And they laughed at me. They said, "Oh, Lori says, you know, she's been abducted." I remember being paralyzed. Like they said, I was screaming for help, and my family thought I was sleepwalking all the time. I'd be out in the field in the middle of the night. And I would, one of these days, would love to get hypnotized to find out.
Oh, absolutely. We have to get you in touch with some people, Bud Hopkins especially, mm-hmm. and get you hypnotized and find out exactly what happened to you.
And
that's remarkable.
The weirdest thing because, I mean, you know the movie with the you know, the guys that were out and doing they were cutting down the wood.
Fire
all
in the
that
sky.
Happened to me. I mean, yep. It is so. When I saw that movie, it was just the weirdest thing.
That's a Travis Walton case. Remember that?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I remember looking at these, you know, different sized people, and they were talking to me. They were scraping my skin, putting this laser thing in my eyes. I'm 4 years old. Where would I have gotten that? You know,
did they look human?
Television.
Did they look human, or did they look really strange?
No, they looked like what an alien. You know, small, the little ones, the big ones. And then
big
I later
heads,
in life,
big eyes.
Huh?
The big heads, the big eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tried to explain. He says, "Oh, you're crazy." And I was a little kid trying to explain what was happening to me every night. And my family, to this day, they laugh. My brother believes me. But they says, "Oh, Lori thinks she's been abducted." But all that stuff in that movie happened to me. I mean, it was like they were drilling stuff in my ears. I mean, I was screaming. And they were, you know, I was on an operating table, like. It was the weirdest thing, but they pulled that thing out of my head. I mean, and then later in life, I moved to an apartment, and I saw one of those little things in the corner, but I haven't seen anything ever since. I thought I was dreaming, but it was that same paralyzing feeling. But this happened to me, and he says, "Oh, your foot fell asleep," and I just remember being up in that ship, and you could see out, and I just trying to scream and tell my family to come help me. And nobody ever came.
No,
you know?
No, nobody's going to come help you at all. Hey, thanks for the call. Wildcard Line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Hi, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Well, thank you.
I'm Matt calling from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yeah, man. What's on your mind?
I was calling to see if you heard any more about Mel's Hole.
You know, the last time I had heard about Mel's Hole was, must have been about a year ago. I had an individual on who was doing some work, and he can't find it either. We don't know exactly where it is anymore, and nobody knows whatever happened to Mel. He apparently has moved on, and I called Art about a year ago after this person was trying to investigate Mel's Hole and to ask him if he had Mel Waters' phone number, and that's when he was still in Nevada. And he did not have the number. And so we don't have any way of finding Mel Waters anymore. And if Mel ever scans the dial to listen to Coast to Coast, we'd love to find him and put him back on again. But it was a strange, strange situation in those days with Mel's Hole. International Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Can I just say quickly hi to somebody that listens to your program all the time?
I'll give you 5 seconds for it.
Okay, it's hi, Dan and Danielle on Touch Island. Okay, thank you very much. Anyway, you had a caller on there with questioning about chemtrails, eh?
Yeah.
Up here in BC, we got laced by chemtrails during the summer, and I went out and took some pictures. I've got UFOs spewing these things.
You've got UFOs? Now, see, that's a first for me. We've seen planes do it, but not UFOs.
This looks nothing like an airplane. There's three of them, and I never noticed it until somebody pointed it out, and we blew it up, and this thing looks crazy.
All right, what do the craft look like? Is it a typical UFO shaped?
There's no, not at all. I can't describe it, but I can email it to you.
Please. All right. Yeah, definitely. Get me the picture. I'll get it right up to Lex. All righty. We'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue this Thanksgiving Day night. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Top of the hour this Thanksgiving Day night, Lloyd Pye joins us, Ancient Astronauts. But we'll be back in a moment. We'll take your open line phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's go to our first-time caller line. Don't forget, right at the end of the program, a very special thank you rendition for you from Don LaFontaine. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, George.
Thank you, sir.
Been listening to you since you've been on weekends.
Can you believe it'll be 4 years full-time? It'll be 6 years associated with Coast to Coast in April. Where does the time go?
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question.
Sure.
It wasn't a guest with you or Art, but it was a great guest. His name was Dr. Bruce Agnew, and basically he was doing there were a group of him and some scientists were going to go to the center of the Earth to prove that the government was proving covering up the Earth was hollow.
Right.
Did you ever hear of him?
Yes, I have.
And they were supposed to go in June. And they were supposed to document everything?
I don't know if they went.
Oh, really?
I don't know. We would have had follow-ups by that time.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. But they
Sometimes these people disappear under very strange circumstances. There was another guy by the name of, I think his name was Dallas Thompson, or Townsend. He was going to do the same thing. Art interviewed him, 3 years ago.
Wow.
We can't find the guy.
Wow. Can I ask you another question?
Sure, absolutely.
I have a recommendation for a book.
All right.
It's called 23 Minutes in Hell, okay? This guy's a born-again Christian. I think he's a Baptist. And I think it's basically a great book for everybody to hear about. And basically his story is he was put down in hell, basically by Jesus, sent him there, and because he wanted to tell everybody how bad hell was, and, you know, so he would come back and tell everybody his experience and what went on in there.
Huh. Okay, we'll check it out.
You want his email?
I can get it. I can get it. Don't give it to me on the air.
But just okay.
All right, just email it to me, and we'll get it. And Brooks Agnew, the person you mentioned, was on the air with us back in 2005. He suggested at that time to us that there were two Earths that had come together in a union of polarity. And in terms of going to the center of all of this, I don't know what happened to him. But it's we'll try to track him down. Make a note of that, Gina, if you would. And you can dig up his website in our past records, and we'll get to work on it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yo, George.
Hi.
This is Gabriela on the island of Hawaii.
Hello, Gabriela. Oh, did you get a little shaking today? Did you feel it?
Yeah, and what you didn't know about was that we had a Highway 19 got closed by a landslide.
Oh, no.
And my girlfriend was headed to Kona for Thanksgiving, and she had to come back home.
And I trust nobody got hurt.
Nobody got hurt, just had that landslide. Actually, I got three things. That's one. Number two is, yo, Karen, to my neighbor up the road. And number three is Choctaw, one of my orange feline sons. His right paw, he injured it, and there's nothing the vet can do about it if it's broken or sprained or tendons messed up. And there's no infection or anything. He's been limping around over a week. And he's the last one. I got six living links to my husband who died, and they're my six feline children, and they're my babies. And just everybody just say a mass consciousness thing for Choctaw's paw to heal quickly. He's been limping for over a week.
That's a long time. That's a long time for an animal to be limping along, isn't it?
Not if it's a messed up tendon. A tendon takes a long time to
heal. Is he wrapped up? Have you taken him to a vet?
Well, I called the vet, and the vet said if it's broken or if it's sprained, there's nothing they can do about it.
Oh, they can tape it up, can't they?
No, because the cats will gnaw the tape off.
They will, huh?
Yeah.
I guess a dog would do the same thing, too, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, it's just got to get better on its own.
Well, you know, every Friday, and tomorrow's Friday, we put that little power of mass consciousness in a collective way. It's just it's an on-given thing, and we don't do it on the program, and we just do it, and I think it works. I get a lot of great response from people that have been helped. Let's go to our next wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Hi, George. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, this is Kurt. I'm a truck driver.
You sure are. Where are you, Kurt?
But to get in the spirit of the show, I refer to myself as a time zone traveler.
Yeah, from point to point to point. Where are you time zoning right now?
3 miles east of St. Louis.
Okay.
Before in Illinois.
Let me get out of the cave here and stand on the top of this hill. You might see me.
Anyways, on Friday's show, one of your parapsychologists was talking about the lights or colored orbs they saw in some of the rooms, in some of the houses or whatever.
Right.
I think his name was...
Joshua Warren.
Joshua, okay. Anyways, it kind of hit me. I remember hearing before in other shows where there's witnesses that had seen colored orbs in fields where they later had found crop circles. So I was kind of thinking, you know, maybe they're connected. Either the lights they're seeing in the houses are actually ETs, or maybe vice versa. Some of the crop circles are being made by entities.
You are correct. By the way, Linda Moulton Howe is our guest tomorrow for the first hour or so. And she has always reported of strange lights being seen next to some crop formations. And they can be like orbs. So you're absolutely correct that that's a very strong possibility.
Yeah, I want to bring it up, see what she thinks, see if they're connected.
So when you're driving, are you able to celebrate Thanksgiving with your family, or are you on the road during a holiday?
Well, I myself usually work Thanksgiving. Today, I made myself a nice dinner. I had a little ribeye steak with some rice and stuff I made here in the truck. But I work Thanksgiving, then I take like a week to 10 days off for Christmas.
Well, great. Enjoy it. And I'm glad you find Coast to Coast as part of your family on Thanksgiving night.
I've been listening for 10 years.
All right. Well, you drive carefully.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. There are so many people listening to this program right now. It is family. East of the Rockies. Hello there.
East of the Rockies?
It is you.
Okay. I couldn't hear you.
My phone.
There was something you were saying about the, you guys were saying about the Illuminati that puzzled me, how they blew things up and killed presidents right out in public and did it for power because they did it right in front of everybody, and this action gave them power. If nobody knows who the Illuminati are, how can it give them power? Because we can't arrest them if we do, you know. They might as well be asleep in bed.
I think it's the theory of Alex Jones, and he was the one who said that last night during our JFK conspiracy show, that if they are involved in these horrible events, that they want all of us to know with shock treatment the capabilities, not necessarily that they're behind it, but that these things occur. And, I mean, it is so easy to commit assassin. I mean, look at this former Russian spy. Mm-hmm. Couple guys apparently put something in his tea, though it's not been confirmed. But doctors say he was poisoned. So, you know, I'll assume he was poisoned. And, you know, and he dies that way. No drama. But the Illuminati, and I tend to agree with Alex here, they like high drama. And this control that has been going on for the beginning of mankind is their push, and that's what they want. So, and they constantly want to keep human beings at ease and scared and on their edge of their chair, and that's what they're doing to us.
So it's like the drama that keeps us in check or in line or scared, not so much as knowing who that person is.
Exactly.
I understand now. Thank you for clearing that up for me. Oh,
okay.
And one more thing. I'd like to say for Pittsburgh and everybody in Western Pennsylvania that we really appreciate all our people in Iraq, our armed forces in Iraq and all over the world. We love them, and we pray for them, especially today.
Good for you. Thank you so much. In just a few minutes, we'll pick up this rendition from Don LaFontaine as well. Well, once again, another Detroit Lions Thanksgiving Day football game. My Detroit Lions lose again. They always lose. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ogden, Utah.
Well, welcome to the show. What's your first name?
Thank you. I'm Nancy.
Nancy, what's going on?
Well, what I was thinking is this country was founded on freedom of religion and belief, and we've been a blessed country. And the more that we're blessed, the more that we are looked after and protected. And as we grow more unrighteous or wicked, then our protection is gone. And in order to protect our country, we need to go back to those same fundamentals that our forefathers fought for and become more religious and do it today and do it this generation so that the next generation can pick that up. We're losing it. Each generation is getting a little bit more weak.
It is. It's being whittled away, isn't it?
Yes. All those fundamentals are being lost, and the righteousness is also being lost. We're a me generation. And that next generation will double. That rule of 72 works with people, too.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello there. It's you. Hi.
Oh, it's me. I won. Did I win a date with you?
Well, I don't know about that. Where do you live?
I live in Missouri.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do. Stratford, right next to Springfield.
Oh, sure. I know where Springfield is. I don't know where your city is, but I know where Springfield is.
Well, it's about 8 miles to the east of Springfield, Stratford.
Do you think we should raffle off a date with me?
Yeah, I adore your voice. We'd
probably raise about $14.
Well, I would pay it.
Okay. Anyway, what's on your mind?
My name is Siri, and I am a truck driver and another one. But I'm not driving right now. I'm sitting still just so that I can talk to you. In 2001, back in June 2001, I was picking up a load in Clayton, North Carolina, out of Bayer Corporation. It was going to JFK Airlines. At Saudi Arabia Airlines up there at JFK, and there was about five of us having five different parts of the same load. It was a load of drugs. When we got up there, we were all on time, all the same company, and it was a load being exported. And, of course, the export paper, we had that, and I didn't say where it was going, just that it was leaving the country. And Masawi was the broker on the load.
Oh, my God.
And on the 28th, we all showed up. Okay, our reefers are right. At the time, I was a lease operator, kind of like a owner-operator. And so we were paying for the fuel, and they hemmed and hawed around, and it was weird that they said their plane broke down or some crap, I don't know, you know, and we ended up sitting there overnight, 30 hours before they unloaded us. And the morning of the 29th, when we woke up, it was hot in New York back then, those 2 days. And so we had to run the refrigeration unit because they didn't have a refrigerated dock. So when they finally got around to unloading us in the afternoon of the 29th, that morning, all the hijackers came in. And they all flooded into the cargo hold and the cargo bay, and they were all...
You know, if we had only known, I want to get your phone number. Gina, get her number. We'll call her back tomorrow so she can finish up the rest of that story. But, man, if we had only known, we could have captured all of those people at that time. We'll be back in a moment with Lloyd Pye as the rest of the program continues this Thanksgiving Day night. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm glad you're with us tonight.